Friends, the overall title for this series of sermons during the month of November is What the Church Needs Now. And as I've indicated, the desire is to express that on a personal level in the sermon, and then to invite those who share in something extra to reflect on how we may respond to a particular element of that theme as a group of believers together. And the focus for today is a devoted people. That we are called to be a people with a deep commitment to the Lord. Now, we're all very conscious that our lives ask us to make many different commitments. All sorts of them. Every one of you has commitments that you're fulfilling as you live out your life. And what our faith provides for us is an understanding of those commitments and a sense of how they fit together and how we should address and balance and prioritize them. And our faith helps with that, though it doesn't solve all the problems that we as human beings face concerning commitments, because of course ultimately it comes down to the living out of whatever it is we profess. Now, what I mean by the sorts of commitments that we have in life are varied, and I just pull out a few things that may serve as illustrations. I mean, we have each of us commitments to family and to friends. And hopefully those are commitments which most of the time are ones we delight in fulfilling. But they are a challenge to us because they ask us to live out those commitments with wisdom and with strength. I mean, we live with commitments as parents to children. And of course, in the strange irony of life, then sometimes it turns around the other way. And children end up fulfilling commitments to parents. And because these sorts of commitments are so personal, they are a challenge to us. Because our sense of bonding is very deep, and our challenge to understand how best to fulfill our commitments is something we sometimes struggle to grasp clearly. And of course, beyond family, there is the relationship of friend to friend. And sometimes those relationships of friendship are as deep or even deeper than our family commitments. And they're part of the life that we live day by day. On a somewhat lesser level, you've all are living or have lived the life of having some sort of job or responsibility. And you know, that involved commitment. If you had a job somewhere, someone expected you to show up someplace and do something. And it didn't always fit easily or nicely with the other commitments you were seeking to fulfill in your life. But it was part of what you needed to do. And today, I would have us pause and think about the sorts of commitments that go with citizenship and belonging to a people and a nation. Because in this season of remembrance, we are conscious of those who fulfilled commitments and did so often at immense personal cost to themselves and to all the other people who were part of their family and world. And we respect that commitment and we remember it with gratitude. But it is the commitment, you see, that goes with living in relationship with other people. And yes, today, before our service concludes, we will observe a time of remembrance. Because, in one way or another, the life of virtually every household here has been touched by the things that are uppermost in our minds at the time of Remembrance Day. Now, another aspect of commitment is, of course, where you knew I was going, our faith commitment. And it takes an overarching role in all our commitments. And it is sometimes difficult for us to understand and appreciate, and sometimes challenging to fulfill. I read that portion from Matthew chapter 16, in which Jesus began to prepare his disciples for the things that were ahead, the things that he was going to experience when he ultimately made that last trip to Jerusalem. And in the eyes of the disciples, things were going well. And more people, it seemed, than ever were listening to Jesus and being impacted by his ministry. And now Jesus says to his disciples, you know, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. And here's what's going to happen there, because those who oppose me are going to inflict pain and death on me. But I will triumph and rise victorious over death. And they were stunned. Jesus had, in a way, hinted at this before, but now he began to make it very clear to them as to how things would unfold. And Peter, ever the spokesman, said, well, no, Lord, that can't happen to you. And in perhaps his sternest words to Peter, Jesus rebuked him, because Peter had to understand that, yes, these things would happen. And that they would be challenging. They would be challenging for Christ, and they would be challenging for his disciples. But they were part of the way in which the grace of God would be accomplished and their pardon achieved. And then Jesus took the moment. They were on the topic of commitment. And Jesus said, turning to them all. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Because what Jesus was pointing out was that the commitment that he, as the Lord's Messiah, would be making in Jerusalem was one in which they had a share. They couldn't do what he was going to do, but they could walk with him through the things that were to come. And Jesus spoke to them about the dangers of just being caught up in the material world. And he added statements like, for those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Now we can picture them saying, what's that? How will that work? And of course, it took the living out of the days ahead for them to begin to understand what the Lord was saying. But the point was that Jesus made it clear that commitment was not just something you talked about. Commitment had a price on it. It had an involvement that went below the surface of life. It was demanding. And that was the character of the commitment that Jesus was calling his disciples to. A commitment that would ask them to walk with him through painful, punishing times. And a commitment that asked them to value the things that were really valuable and to abandon the things that were not. It was, you see, primarily a commitment to a personal relationship with God in Jesus Christ. Because Christ always clearly linked his life, his actions, and his teaching to their Heavenly Father's purpose and plan for his people. It was to be a commitment that represented their relationship to God in every area of life. It was not just, you know, saying, well, Lord, I'll walk with you as you teach in Galilee. It was not asking his disciples to just take on some light commitment. It was asking them to walk with him to death. And that's the character of our calling also in Jesus Christ. This calling was not unique to those in that generation who walked with him in Galilee. This was the sort of commitment that Christ was calling all who would be his people to fulfill. And it was a commitment that took precedence over everything. Not meaning that all other commitments were to be abandoned, but they were all to find their place in their relationship with the disciples' commitment to the Lord. And that's it for us too, you know. We have many commitments, and sometimes, as I said, we struggle to make them fit together, and sometimes even the smallest of our commitments become the most difficult to fulfill and most challenging in the moment. And sometimes it seems as though all our commitments come looking for payment at the same time. But Jesus gives us an understanding that when we sort out our commitments in relationship with Him, then we begin to understand the ways in which our other commitments in life fit together. And in Him, we find the strength to fulfill all our commitments. And the reality is that when we as human beings get confused about our priorities in life, what usually happens is our commitment falters. So what the church needs now, not something unique, not something it didn't need before, but what the church as Christ's gathered people needs is that commitment to follow the Lord. And it's as a necessary part of who we are as believers in this time as it was to those who were standing with Him when He first spoke the words recorded for us in Matthew 16. And it calls upon us to ponder, to seek to understand, to grow into the living out of the faith. Because the faith in our relationship with God, as in fact in our human relationships, involves more than simply saying, I love you. It involves living the life that demonstrates that that profession is sincere. So, our challenge individually is to so grow in our understanding of God's grace and peace in Jesus Christ, to so grasp the magnitude of His love and the importance of His calling that we set as our priority to be a people devoted, set aside to, committed to the Lord and His way. On one level, this is an awesome burden. But in the light of the grace of Jesus Christ, who walks before us, who demonstrates for us, who gives to us, who strengthens us, who empowers us, we accept it as our calling in Him. And so, what without that understanding of the one who calls us to be His would seem only to be a dreadful burden becomes the glorious route to life eternal. This is good news. This is our challenge. Thanks be to God.